Congratulations. That was some sound art by me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
P.S. This is Congratulations Pine Tree. This episode and all previous and future episodes are brought to you by Jennifer Locke. She donated to us very generously and let us know that she wouldn't mind us saying her name on the show.
Oh, really?
In an effort to guilt her cheap friends into also sending money.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much, Jennifer Locke. You are an inspiration in so many ways. And now one of those ways is financial. We now have a total of 2 donations.
Woo! Do we put our award money in that pile or no? That just goes straight into our pockets.
That is an award, not a donation. Yeah.
That we can do whatever we please with, right?
I'm just going to keep mine.
I think I've already spent it. I put it straight into my wallet. I was like, there we go.
Anyhow, moving right along. We had some listener feedback this week. My favorite thing.
Yep.
My name is Wendy Whatnot, and I have a question for the Congratulations Pine Tree Advice segment. I am an artist. I go to art openings and events. And I want to know more art people, but I don't know how to talk to people I don't know. In the art world, what do people say to strangers? What are things that strangers have said to you? Okay, thank you. Congratulations.
Okay, I have been in this exact situation where you're in a small venue and you maybe don't really know anyone, but you're like, fuck, it's bright as hell in here. I can't just leave. And I just stand there awkwardly until enough people come where I feel like I can leave without anyone noticing. They also mentioned that this might be a good question for Jenny Ottinger, so I forwarded it along to our field correspondent, Jenny Ottinger. And Jenny just said she can't identify with anyone that has a problem talking to strangers because Jenny will go out of her way to talk to strangers.
Yeah.
And doesn't understand people that aren't like that. So she had no advice. How do you start talking to a stranger? This is something I have to do.
Any stranger or like in a specific, like in a gallery setting?
Yes.
See, that feels easy to me.
In a gallery?
Yeah, because there's always something to talk about. Like they're there, you're there, you're there for probably the same reason, to look at work or because you love art or you're interested in art to some degree. So there's kind of like an immediate, you're already there for the same reason. So how can it be that much harder to start something?
I really love talking to people about wherever they're from. I like to figure out what sports team is in their area.
Are you,
and talk about what
you're
rivalry.
Not even a sports fan.
I hate sports.
But you just find that's sort of a good icebreaker or something?
I like to talk to people about like what's their thing. Like I try to imagine what their hometown is like and what.
So, okay, so give us a scenario here. Let's role play.
We're at an opening.
Okay.
It's sparsely populated.
Okay.
Oh, hey, do you know the artist?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
I just read about the show and thought I should come check it out. It sounded interesting to me.
That's cool. Are you from here?
Yeah, I've lived here for a while, actually.
How long?
About 15 years.
That's great.
How about you?
I'm from Ohio.
Ohio. I know some people from Ohio.
5.5 hours later. Oh, yeah. And then I went to Youngstown, and that's over in this part of Ohio.
That reminds me of when I was in 5th grade.
I'm so glad we're best friends now. Okay, moving right along.
Wendy, did that help you out at all?
Probably not. Sorry about that one, Wendy. Okay, but let's really get down to the real advice, Maysoon.
I thought we did.
Nope. You got to just bite the bullet and go for it. Although sometimes you just got to cut your losses. Like maybe you don't need to talk to anybody. If no one's striking you, I don't think you always have to talk to people at a show. If you're just forcing it, it's going to be an awkward conversation and one that is probably not going to serve you or the person you're talking to in any way.
You definitely got to go with your gut feeling. Like if you're in an awkward ass mood and just not feeling it, just get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to feel even worse.
Read.
Like, oh my God.
And another thing is just get really good at reading body language.
Is that something you can learn?
I think so.
I always thought that was more like an intuitive
kind
of situation.
I just saw something. Maybe I had to look at it for work or something, but it was all about like
like you're a cop.
Me?
Yeah, you're like looking at people's body language to determine if they're going to try to touch, lick, or steal the art.
No, not at all. It's more like, are people confused and do you need to help them? like confused body language.
Tell me
open
more.
Open body language. Just different. Actually, maybe it was like a networking picture.
What is it when, like, you hold your hands behind your back?
Pretentious.
Really?
I think so. At an art thing, yeah.
Oh.
Or you feel like you're out of control of your body and you need to, like, pin yourself not to touch things.
I think that's more it.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Something to do with your hands.
Anyhow, point is, Wendy, you want to get good at looking at body language so you know whether or not somebody wants to be approached. And I think that is learnable.
You know, and you can just walk right back up, but you can say thanks. You can just say...
That is an awkward situation. Just
well,
try to...
because, like, inevitably you kind of feel bad. You're like, oh, there's not a big turnout. I feel bad. Should I leave or stay? Help them feel better about it.
You can talk to the... try to talk to the artist about their work if you want. Or about other
how is the artist
that
feeling
so
in that situation?
I've never been alone in that situation.
You've always had like a friend
I have
who's
a,
been with
my
you.
Girlfriend. Yeah, where if I'm at an opening and I'm like, not too many people might come to this one, I want to have a ringer.
Yeah,
who I know is going to be there. That's a sticky one. That is one of those art world hard situations.
No.
And one of those situations that I feel like you don't find too many other places besides the art world.
That's why you just shouldn't go to openings.
That's terrible. We're going to get a lot of angry hate
no.
mail for that.
No, everyone's thinking that. Just
you
don't
gotta
go.
Got to go to openings maybe soon.
Openings?
Yep.
We've talked about
people
this before.
People are really violent about going to openings. You have to go. If you don't go, you're worthless garbage.
Mm.
That's what they say.
That's okay with me. Fuck all you people.
So, Wendy, let us know if any of this has helped you. We're out here on the sidewalk talking to Brontez Purnell, author, artist, choreographer, dancer, musician, performer. Is there anything else I did not mention?
I'm an uncle.
Yay. Congratulations.
Sweet. I love that you wanted to say that.
That's cute. I was mentioning earlier that in my younger years, I would smoke marijuana and go out to the forest with my friend Shanna and listen to Gravy Train, which you were in. And I guess, was that the intended use of that music?
I would solely say so, you know, but I was doing the same thing. I didn't join Gravy Train until like a year into its inception. Like, when Gravy Train started, I was actually living in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and me and Hunks were like, we met through like the Kill Rockstars message board or like Maximum Rock and Roll, something like that. I totally forget. But I was living in Alabama and he was living in Arizona. Yeah, we would trade tapes. And then when I was 18, he was like, yeah, I just started a band called Gravy Train. Like, if you ever move to California, you could join. And so,
I'm on my way.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but like, yeah, eventually, like, I was hanging out with these kids. There's this band called XBXRX, and they were from Mobile, and we were like friends through like Book Your Own Fucking Life through Maximum Rock and Roll. And like, they called me up and they were just like, hey, we're moving to California, like, do you want to come? There's room in the van. And I think the farthest west I had been at the time was like Arkansas. But I was just like, you know, like, California has to be cool. It has to be cooler than Alabama. So I just hopped in the van and like came, and yeah, it was a good plan. Glad I made that plan. Yeah.
What year was that?
Was it 2001? It had to be 2002. It had to be 2002. It was 2002.
That's a long time that you've been in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Was it always the Bay Area?
No, yeah, totally. Like, and Oakland specifically. Like, I think I lived in the city for like 1 year, I think, but it's been Oakland the whole time.
I wanted to ask you, because you've performed in so many different places and so many different kinds of, like, incarnations, like, you've performed at the Berkeley Art Museum and, like, Yerba Buena and, like, all these places, but then also, like, punk venues and stuff like that. So I just wondered if you noticed a difference between, like, the regular music audience and, like, an art audience.
Yeah, it's so, like, I don't know, it's so different. Like, it's totally so different. Like, there's sometimes where I'm, like, sometimes I'm glad that, like, I don't know, like, I'm in an art museum and people are, like, having, like, this cerebral experience, you know, because sometimes in Gravy Train, I think about, like, how, like, in my 20s, I would, like, show up to, like, a bar in Nebraska and just be like, okay, I'm going to dance around in a jock strap. And, like, part of me is just, like, now that I'm older, I'm like, I would never do any fucking thing like that. Like, that sounds so scary these days, you know what I mean? But, like, you needed, like, that youth aspect, you know? But whereas, like, you know, if you're, like, in some museum here, like, you can totally be naked and it's art and, like, it's more or less safe. I don't know. It really just depends on the curation, both of the show, wherever it's at, and, like the art space you're in, you know? Because if a lame person is responsible for it, you're probably going to have a lame experience. If a cool person's responsible for it, you're going to have a cool experience. So, I don't know. I do kind of miss, like, I don't know. I kind of miss, like punk shows, though. Like, we recently, my band Younger Lovers, we went on tour of the Pacific Northwest recently, and it was good, because I forgot how fun it is just to, like, roll into town and not know anybody and just, like, play random shows and have beef with people on the road, and then they, you know, email you, and they'll be like, hey, like, you know, I saw your band, but I think that what you said here was troubling, and blah, 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 and you're like, okay, yeah, let's talk about it. Oh, my God, this feels like, you know, the early 2000s. Like, yay, let's, like, process some feelings. So
there's a part in your book. You say, Johnny,
oh, yeah,
would you love me
if my dick were bigger? Johnny, would you love me if my dick were bigger? Yeah.
Where the protagonist goes to a dance class. Is that at all autobiographical?
I'm always, like, really hesitant to reveal the autobiographical parts of that book because I just feel like it might incriminate me. But, yes, it is.
Was that teacher Anna Halperin?
I won't say that it's Anna Halperin per se, but I will say it's a 90-plus postmodern innovator from the Bay Area.
That is cool. On a completely unrelated note, how did you get into... Because you're a choreographer now in, like, experimental contemporary dance. How did you get into that scene?
Well, I don't know. I was really into dancing. When I first moved here, before I was ever in Gravy Train, I used to dance with this band, Veronica Lip Gloss and the Evil Eyes. Like, I was a go-go boy for them. And, like, they actually were the first band. It was the first time I got to go up the West Coast. Like, I'd been here maybe 4 months, and we took, like, this whole, like, road trip all the way up to Vancouver and played all these, like, shows, you know? And it was, like... It was just, like, this van full of, like, just radical, crazy, like, queers, like, fags, dykes, bis, everything in between. It was a whole it was, like, 8 people in the van or something like that. And it was a really good experience because I hadn't had that in my life before. And so then I started dancing in Gravy Train, and then I went to Laney College, and I was walking by the dance classroom, and I just, like, heard these drums, and I'd never had access to things like, you know, like an African dance class or modern. And I was just like, I started out, like, curiously enough, just, like, dancing over there. And then there was this lady, Colette Elwa, who does Elwa Movement. She saw me in Haitian dance class and actually scouted me. And she was like, oh, like, come join my contemporary Haitian dance group. And I danced Haitian contemporary for about 5 years. And then I danced over at the Malanga Cascalore, which is, like, the center for a lot of, like, African and ethnic dance. Yeah, and I did that the first year. Like, right as I was in Gravy Train, I started all of that. And so about 10 years into it, I wanted to start my own dance company. And so, and plus I went to Cal State East Bay, and I took, you know, dance there, and I had, like Eric Coopers and Nina Haft, who were, like, these, like, wonderful, amazing, like, queer teachers, you know, like, queer dance teachers. And, like, I was, like, you know, I TA'd in some of their classes. There was this one class, like, sex, race, and body politics and dance, you know, like, that was a cool class to learn stuff about. And so, you know, for, like, a pretty, like, blue-collar education, like, I had a really amazing, you know, dance education. And so it was one of those things where I was, like, in the punk DIY communities doing music so much, I was like, well, why can't I make my focus dance? Like, why can't I? That's going to be the name of my next book. Why can't I?
So much of your work has to do with intimate relationships and love and so on. I wondered if you had any love or relationship or sex advice for listeners.
Gosh, what can I say? I would say you should learn how to be alone first. That's about it.
That's a very good advice.
you did some performances with Yerba Buena for their last show, Radical Presence.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'd love to hear about that experience for you, like getting asked in. Did you work with Popel on his work, or, you know, like how did that come about, I guess?
Yeah, like they, Popel had been doing this piece, like, Costume Made of Nothing, where it's like someone where they kind of wear this suit that like matches like the sculpture and they activate the sculpture. And so, I mean, it was like a survey of like Black contemporary performance artists in America. So like in the Bay, like my name came up and, yeah, like I got to work with Popel and just like he talked me through the piece and it was like super amazing. Like he was just like, I think he's one of like the dreamiest individuals in the world. Just like so sweet, so nice. And then also like on top of it, the Converge that happened as a part of Radical Presence, they asked my dance company to perform. And then I also got to do a holding court, like a talk with Frank Schmigel. So like that was really cool. And like some of the people I met, like Tamika Norris, who did the show. But I just found out today, like I got this gig at the University of Austin in April coming up, and she's gonna be there. And so we're gonna bring my dance company over there, and yeah. So and then some of the people that I met through Radical Presence at the University of Houston, I'm trying to talk to them about like doing a show, and so. Yeah, it was just really nice. It was really nice to, yeah, I never thought that I would have, like, this type of family.
It's
just
a pretty diverse family, you know, yeah. Which is really cool.
No, yeah, for sure. Like, I just, it's nice to, like, exist. It's, like, nice to exist in, like, a lot of realms. I mean, I play rock and roll now. Like, right now, rock and roll is not so much my favorite realm. Like, I'm really, really, really having issues with the diversity issue of rock and roll. So, I don't know. I'm not feeling that as much. But, like, you know, dance and writing is going really amazing.
Did you get any interesting feedback or any feedback from your performances at Yerba Buena when you were there?
Yeah, a lot of people really loved my ass in the costume. Like, because originally, like, because it's like this bodysuit, right? And, like, originally.
You're fully covered. I mean, your face is covered. Everything is covered.
Everything is totally covered. Originally, like, when they sent this piece of paper first that was saying, like, here's the costume made of nothing. Your shoulders can't be more than this. Your waist can't be more than this. Your butt size can't be more than this. And I was just kind of like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I am a Bay Area feminist, okay? A body positive feminist. You are not gonna send me no goddamn thing telling me my body can't be that. My body will be anything it feels like being. You know, really underneath it all, I was just like, oh shit, do I need to like start eating salads or something? Like, do I need to lose 20 pounds in 3 days? Like, but luckily, like, the outfit was made of Lycra. And so I looked exquisite in it. Like so many people came up and was just like, oh my god, like your ass is poetry. And I'm like, I know.
I saw you do the performance you did on the like fundraiser night for Art Practical.
Oh yeah, that was totally cool. That was actually what piece did I do? Oh, it was If I John Henry, and that's actually the piece we're going to do in Texas, and that's the piece that we premiered at Black Choreographers Festival. I kind of wanted to make a piece that was like a sync piece. Like, I did a lot of work in the African theater, so it's essentially about this spirit of Ogun. Like, he's a forest spirit, synced with John Henry, like the railroad worker, synced with my father, who, like John Henry, is from Alabama and was a railroad worker. And my father actually passed away while I was mounting the piece, so it became a really, like, it's still a really, really strong piece for me. I'm really happy that this piece gets to, like, build itself and have more life, you know? I'm even thinking about, like, maybe even, like, turning it into, like, an evening length, you know?
Do you want to tell listeners a little more about, like, the, what that is like? Like, there's parts where you're playing drums, and there's parts where there's two other dancers with you, and like,
it's just really about like the story of John Henry is just about how it was essentially him versus the machine. It was him versus the steam engine, and I think it's synced with like a lot of, I don't know, with anybody's everyday struggle, like feeling like, you know, our lives are so connected to machines, or like just wondering if, like, ultimately our humanity will win out. It's about endurance, essentially, like, endurance. And also, like, you know, will this struggle kill us? And if the struggle kills us, you know, will we be perfected in death? You know, like, you know, a lot of people die. A lot of people die without ever feeling like they've done anything heroic, you know. You know, it's sad that John Henry died, but, like, in death, like, you know, everyone said, okay, this is what this man is known for. So it's just, like, calling into question just, like, you know, a lot of just, like, basic themes of humanity made manifest.
I did notice the audience at that AP thing. You were there when Guillermo Gomez Pena did his thing too, right?
Yeah, totally. I was there.
Wasn't that badass?
No, that was super cool. Like, yeah. I really loved, I don't know, like, to be honest, like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I was so hammered at that. Like, I don't know why, like. Yeah, I was totally, and I normally don't do that anymore, but, like, there was just something about it. Like, I had just, like, I had been stressing out the whole day. It was so hard to get all the stuff over there, and then they, like, had us, like, gave us, like, the free wine. Like, I don't know. Like, I was just, like, and plus, like, I just, yeah, like, I felt like, I mean, like, Patricia is, like, amazing. I think she's, like, so, like, cool. But the audience was, like, a little different than I expected, and so I got really nervous. I'm like, oh, my God, are, like, they even going to get this? And then, like, I think there was, like, a trapeze act before us or, like, some gymnast or something. And I was just, like, and then I was just, like, oh, no, like, I'm not, like, I can't do the splits in midair. Are they going to expect that of me? And, like, you know what I mean? And so, like, yeah, like, I was wasted. I ended up, like, really insulting this, like, fag I know. Like, he still hasn't talked to me since. Like,
I just remember when Guillermo Gomez Pena went, me and my girlfriend were the only people that gave him a standing ovation. But then I remember you were in the back also being like, yeah.
No, he was, like, killing. And you know, like, when you're, like, hearing something super inspiring and you're also wasted, it just sounds extra good. It sounds like someone's, like, yelling it through, like, a megaphone. You're just like, yeah, man, fuck how unfair the world is. I hate that, too. Like, so good. Like, so good.
It's the problem with the art audience where you can't, like, express. I feel like there's this weird, you're supposed to have this specific way that you act.
I feel like sometimes in a, like, in, like, when in these high art things, like, people still, like, digest things as if they're going to a museum to see just visual art on the wall. And that's, like, you know, and, like, right now it's a trend of, like, bringing performance into museums, you know, and I think people are still getting used to that because it's, like, it's really hard. Like, performance is, like, kind of like the least paid art form, you know, because it's really hard to own a performance. And so people want to, like, own the performance, you know, but I think we're making a shift to where, like, people understand that, like, if you're watching a performance, you're also a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, your reactions are as much a part of, like, the political thing, the everything that's going on, you know? Like, if you just sit there and, like, kind of, like, are, like, dead inside and show no response, like, you know what I mean? Then that's going to be what you're watching. It's going to render what you're watching the same thing, you know? And I think a lot of people need to understand that.
Are you at all interested in teaching? Like, teaching dance, or? I mean, do you ever think of yourself as a teacher? I feel like you could be a really great dance teacher.
I would love to, but it's like, I'm actually so not, like, versed in any, like, real, like, formal technique. I've just taken, like, the general hodgepodge of, like, Graham, Limon, like, Dunham, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I would love, like, for a while I thought I was going to try to get my Dunham certification, and, like, I love Dunham too. It's like, and it's like, it's, I feel like it's the most natural and it's, like, the most rhythmic, but in order to embark on that journey, I feel like I would, like, it would take another, like, I would have to take 3 years off my life and, like, try to, like, you know, do that. But I mean, I would say sometime, like, in my, like, 40s or whatever, I would love to teach. I teach, like, I've taught, like, workshops at Girls Rock Camp in Oakland. I've taught movement workshops there, and I've also taught a mini, like, lecture dance thing at Thomas Jefferson High School in Brooklyn, New York. I love working with youngsters, you know, and, like, particularly, like, youngsters in urban settings, you know, because it's just, like, I feel like a lot of times, like, with kids who haven't had as much access as me, like, they feel like the dance is all about, like, oh, like, let me go and, like, well, ballet, or, like, let me go and dance, like, Beyonce in a mirror for 30 minutes, and, like, it's just nice. I was, like, sitting down with this group of, like, teenage girls, and I'm like, well, you know, it's nice to be able to dance like Beyonce, but if you were, like, to script your own show, say, a story from your life, like, what film would you play? Like, what type of poetry would you write that went along to what you're dancing? Like, just trying to, like, get kids to understand that, like, theater and, like, having people relate to it is, like, a full, inclusive experience. Like, you have to be...
story too.
Yeah, and they totally have their own story and their own bodies too, you know, like you don't have to be able to lift your feet to 180 degree split, you know, to do something compelling in front of people or something that's gonna like stay with people forever. So personal magic is everything, you know.
See, I feel like you have you're gonna be developing your own technique.
We're gonna be like, children, you're gonna start with a lot of naps and a lot of daydreaming. It's all about daydreaming and naps.
The Purnell technique, thank you.
Oh, it's free for you.
When you, I've never heard of the certification deal. I don't know that much about dance.
The school is in like St. Louis. Yeah, and like you go there every summer for the technique workshops, and they teach you a lot of stuff. It's basically like a boot camp where they like grill you, and you have to like, you know, you have to know a lot of stuff, and you write about it, and then, you know, you figure it out.
Holy shit.
Are there any good Dunham teachers out here?
I learned most of my Dunham. I learned a lot of my Dunham from Colette Elwa. There's Dr. Alberta Rose. There's the lady that I took one of her classes one time, but she passed away a couple years ago. Alicia Pierce. She was like amazing. You know, I feel like if anyone can get into a good Dunham class, they should do it, because it's actually like as a technique, it's like, I feel like it's almost like dying off, because like there's not like a lot of new people like coming up to like be certified in it, you know. I almost feel like I should do it as, you know,
just to keep it alive,
because I mean, a woman, when she was also like one of the few like major like black female choreographers, or like probably the most famous black female choreographer like in history, like, you know. So I mean, I might just make some phone calls and see what I have to do. Like,
what's the difference between that way and Martha Graham style?
Well, okay, so the way it was always explained to me, Graham's technique was very specific for a specific, like, instrument. Graham technique is a little harder for me, and I think a little harder for most people, because her technique was built on her body. She was, like, 5'2", and, like, didn't weigh very much, so she had a lower center of gravity. Like, some of the, you know, I can do Graham, but, like, a lot of that stuff, like, some of the early Graham stuff would put me in the hospital. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
a lot of squatting.
I like a lot of squatting. And like a lot of floor,
really deep pliés and a lot of contractions, like floor contractions.
Oh yeah, her whole thing was like, yeah, contraction and release, or yeah,
but
that was
the extreme kind of.
Yeah, she was definitely. You know, she had a lot going on, but let me not talk anything on the great dance mothers. You know, she was great. For me personally, I felt like Dunham was just like a little more naturalistic. You know, a little more like set into rhythm. Like,
she was incorporating more like African dance.
Oh yeah, like she like African dance moves. But then like later Dunham got into like, she got into like the chakra system and like started incorporating like kind of more like chakra work and like, you know, like Tai Chi and stuff like that, you know. So it definitely expanded as it got older, as it was taught to me.
In some of the articles I was reading, you were talking a lot about how hard it is to make it as an artist. And I just wanted to like hear how that's been, like, how has that shifted in your many years of working as an artist? Or is it still feeling like a struggle? Or have you figured out the way
the
to make
secret
it work? You
formula?
Know, like, how are you making things balance?
I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of great things have happened, you know, but I still don't feel like I've like made it. I feel like the future is just as uncertain as it's ever been, you know, like I feel like it's, you know, because happiness is not just like one thing happening right in your life. Happiness is like, it's like a lot of things have to like sync up, you know. And so sometimes I could be like getting some of the greatest shows in my life while like, I don't know, like living in punk rock warehouses and like a bunch of speed dealers move in. And so your home life gets crazy. Your home life gets crazy. And if your home life is crazy, it makes you an erratic person. And like, you're hard to deal with. It makes your interpersonal relationships hard. And then you have to like try to find a way to create on, you know, on top of those obstacles. Or maybe like you get fired from your job, or maybe some other tie gets lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, I feel like it's always like me trying to make like a bunch of ends meet. And it has definitely not perfected itself. But I mean, the only thing I really know how to do is just like, it's gonna sound really cheesy, but like wake up and put one foot in front of the other, you know. Like, some days I'm just like, you know, if I can just like make it out of bed, feed myself, and get 15 minutes of work done, like I've done what I need to do today. Like, and just like, I don't know, being really gentle with yourself, and like hoping, like hoping that it doesn't all fall to hell and also wondering why it hasn't already.
Is there anything else that you would like listeners to know?
Right now, I got the Creative Work Fund grant. So I'm starting work on this dance documentary about the life of Ed Mock. He was this experimental black gay choreographer. His career in the Bay Area spanned from about the late 60s to the mid 80s when he passed away of AIDS. And so just, I go into residency at the lab in 2017 and we premiere the movie about his life. So I'm just doing research and trying to tie up all the odd loose ends and, you know, create a story about who he is and what he was and, you know, what his hopes, dreams, fears were.
Thank you so much for meeting with us today and chatting with us. And as always, congratulations.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Everyone, we pre-recorded the show before Wednesday, so we're not sure of the election results yet, but if you voted, we thank you. No matter how you voted, thank you for participating.
I really hope you voted yes
in the
F.
democratic process.
Just gonna put that out there. I'll forgive you if you haven't, though.
Let's
maybe
rejoice in this moment where we're both in the past and future, yet not knowing our own
hallelujah.
Reality.
Hallelujah. You say the word rejoice and I immediately think of church.
And now, with our new ending to the show that we're trying for the second time. From the bridge to the other bridge to the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree. Is that really what it is? It's so cute.
Yeah, you made it up.
Jesus Christ, clearly I need to write it down.
Okay.